I saw an angel falling down. When I saw her face, it took my breath away.
Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, depending on when you're watching this. I am Pastor Floyd Hughes, and it has been a while since we did an episode. I have with us tonight Melanie, Melissa, and we have a new mom joining us, Betsy. I'll give you a little brief. Betsy is the wife of the pastor who's going to be filling in for me while I'm on sabbatical. Whole other conversation. But we are talking about, because so many people in the world are not getting along right now, there's so much dissension and division, we're kind of talking about how do we teach our kids to get along with other kids, because they see and hear stuff happening online, they see and hear stuff on news, if they watch news or TV. So there's a lot of dissension among adults today for a lot of reasons. So one of the questions is, can parents influence whether their children play nice with others and get along when outside of the home, there's so much influence them to show them that, yeah, it's okay to argue. It's okay to fight, yell and scream at one another if you disagree. That's a broad question, but then we'll dig in a little bit deeper later. So I'm going to start with Melissa. Because you have a child who both sees stuff online and is in all-day school. So do you think that you have a greater ability to influence him and how to get along when he may be exposed to, for the better part of his day, lots of instances where people don't get along?
Honestly, I feel like it's harder the older your child gets. We got really fortunate with Jackson. He's such a soft soul that he's always been a very, very passive person. He doesn't like confrontation. He doesn't like it when people are arguing. He just kind of wants everybody to be weird and vibe and do their own thing. And he embraces whatever kind of thing you're into. He's down with it. Jax has been bullied because he's weird as shit. He's made his own way through it. Me and his dad are very aggressive people. So, like, we're kind of, like, hands on, head first, just dive right into it, confrontational kind of people. And Jax just isn't. So we kind of have, like, this balance in life where you settle it with words first, but you have to remember that words hurt and words have effect on people. But you don't instigate anything either. And you remember that you don't know what that kid's going through at home. Anytime we talk about weird kids on the bus or kids that act out, I'm like, dude, you don't know what their mom does to them in a day. You don't know if their dad comes home at all, ever. You don't know if they have food. You don't know if their siblings steal all their stuff and they got hand-me-downs. You don't know. You're fortunate that you have all these things in life. So just try to be kind to the bully. At the end of the day, though, that bully put your hands on you to have at it. I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to bust out laughing like that, but yeah.
I tried to edit it, but you know.
No, you did good. You did good. So you talked to him about, like, dissension and how to get along with other people and all that stuff, and...
Yeah, we try to find, like, a happy medium. The world is not a kind place, so for me to send him out into this world with rainbows and sunshines and butterflies and him to expect that as a reality... That's just not the basis of life. That's not truth. There's hate and there's mean people and there's rude comments and there's aggressive people that will touch you for no reason. You have to be prepared for everything. Always try to de-escalate. Try to see it from the other person's point of view. Try to help whoever you can along, but don't let somebody else's hate control your entire day or bring you down either. And don't let somebody else take advantage of you for whatever reason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Melanie and Betsy, you're both in different places. So I'm going to jump to Melanie first. So Melanie, what about you? Because Caden is not at the age where he's probably spending as much time online as Jax, but probably at the age where he notices if kids are being mean to one another, if there's arguments going on. So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
You repeat the question. I got a
So,
little.
well, let me simplify it. So what do you say to Caden about how he should get along with other people, even when, in school, there's lots of kids that don't get along? Or like Melissa just said, there are kids that are mean, there are kids that are bullying, there are kids that want to argue and fight.
Well, Caden's kind of a gentle soul. So he'll call people out whenever he thinks that things are unfair. He'll even call us out. But our main point of like parenting is we try to do the tough love thing. So like we're not necessarily his biggest critic, but like he can get the sense of how some people are like, because I think a lot of bullying could be construed as miscommunication because some people are taught like, oh, mean jokes and jest at somebody's expense is just routine play for them.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they're hurting other people. So we're trying to give him a little bit of thicker skin and, but also show him like that's not necessarily how all people view that. Some people view that as hurtful and bothersome. And I'm on Melissa's side. Words go a long way, and once you hit max out, you're allowed to have that.
I have to point out that both of you are some of the, and to use Melissa's words, most aggressive to the point women I have ever met, each with such mild-mannered Clark Kent children.
It's no, because he soft bully Jax too, and he's just so soft all the time. I think it's like the two negatives equal a positive type thing, you
It
know?
must be because
It's so funny. Anais not here, but she has some of the most aggressive children. Like
yes, and she is the most mild-mannered.
aggressive. And Brandon and Linnea are just like the sweetest people. You would think that we all got our kids mixed up.
Yes. Someone ran through the hospital and just like, let's put this one here and this one here. Okay, so Betsy, your children are grown out of the house, right? So they
Hold on, give me a second. Give me a second. Give me a second.
okay,
Okay.
fine.
Go ahead.
They're grown out of the house. So they are probably more prone to witness and see, whether it be in school, college, or just more online stuff or news stuff about all the division, divisiveness, arguing, yelling, screaming, bullying, all that stuff going on in the world. So do you think you still have a way to kind of speak positivity into them about that? Or is it like they're grown enough to where nothing I can say can change however they are now?
Well, I mean, that's what they want to think. They want to think that since they're 18 and 21, their parents don't have any influence in their lives. But if anything's bothering them, we're the first ones that they go to, you know. So a little bit about my background. I'm an elementary school teacher for 10 years. I was in the public schools for 10 years, from kindergarten, first, third, and I was also a female youth leader in our youth group at our home church for 10 years, and most of those kids were all public school. And so it was this whole idea of speaking words. So again, I agree with Melissa and Melanie. You know, hands down, you know, using your words first. And as a kindergarten teacher, my biggest thing was trying to stress to the children or to the students, and even as a preschool director, to stress to them, use your words, use your words, use your words. So instead of saying, stop, 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 well, what do you want them to stop doing? Do you want them to stop breathing? Do you want them to stop looking at you? Do you want them to stop? What do you want them to stop doing? Use full sentences. And that's something that we really stress to our children, Art, Liberty, and Matthew. our own children and all of my students, and even to the teenagers that I worked with, what do you want them to do? Use your words. Because like Melanie said, sometimes it's miscommunication, you know? It could be a miscommunication in a tone, the fact that someone's not using full sentences, they're just expecting you to know what you want them to do. So in high school, Matthew was being bullied by a student. And so he finally turned around, because it always happened when the teacher wasn't there, like teachers out in the hallway, all the high school students coming in, getting settled in their seats. And that's when, you know, he would get picked on and stuff like that by this one particular person. He did let the teacher know what was going on. And the teacher's like, well, if it happens, you know, tell him to knock it off, you know, and use a firm voice. And so Matt used some flowery language and told the kid to knock it off, and the kid stopped, you know. But I think it's also the fact that, you know, Matt and I were able to have conversations with the kids pretty much on a daily basis. Like, there were seriously zero topics that we did not touch. Like, we touched all the topics, and they would come home, and at first Matt was more receptive to the conversations that I was. And I'm sorry, Melissa, it started when they were in middle school. Like, it was those conversations that you're just like, I know I'm going to have these at some point. And Lord, I pray, oh, geez, give me the words and understanding when it actually happens, because I have no clue what I'm going to say at that moment, type of thing. Matt was more receptive than what I was, but he was like, no, he's like, if you want your kids to be able to continue to talk to you, you better not be afraid of these hard topics, because they're going to come up. And I was like, oh, shoot. So middle school all the way through high school, you know, we had those conversations, but Matt always brought it back to, well, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Keep bringing them back to what God would say about it. And so even now, you know, Liberty's in college. Matt just finished college, but he works with people, and he's in musicals with people, you know. And same thing like you were talking about, Melissa, you don't know where people are coming from. You know, unfortunately, you may be the person that gets all the venting and all the crap that they've gone throughout the whole day. Maybe they've just had a really crappy day, and unfortunately, you're the one that gets to hear about it all. And you're the one that gets to experience it all. You know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with asking questions as to, why are you treating me like this? You know, I don't understand. I'm confused. So just giving our children, even our grown children, sometimes the words to say, I call it verbiage. Sometimes giving them the verbiage to say to people or to their professors. Or as an elementary school teacher, we would say, who are your five trusted adults? And we would have the kids point them out on their fingers. Like, who are your five trusted adults? Because sometimes, you know, mom and dad aren't always around, so you might have to have another trusted adult that you can talk to about something. So, yeah.
Oh, that is really interesting and important, having someone else that they can go to in an instance where they can't come to you and bring to you a certain situation or whatever. And also, by having a certain number of trusted adults, maybe this is just me, it's kind of indicating that there probably are certain adults, I won't say you can't trust them, but I don't feel comfortable bringing this to, because they may not feel comfortable bringing every situation to every adult.
Correct.
Depending on a situation. So that's a really good conversation to have. Let me ask you this. So is there anything that your children brought to you, like, and you don't have to spill the beans, but, well, they're never going to listen to this, so you can say whatever you want. But brought,
anyway, they know we talk about them. They're good.
That they brought to you and said, this, you know, this and this happened, or this and this happened, or this instance with another child, where you had to, like you said, hey, this is the way you should handle it. But they felt like, I don't feel comfortable going back and talking to that person. Like, they felt like really threatened or scared.
I don't know. See, Liberty is very confrontational. She wanted everybody to, like, she wanted peace amongst everybody. but she was the first one to also, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you were bothering her, you were going to know. Like, you were going to know that you were bothering her some way, shape, or form. And sometimes it was her words that got her into trouble. Matthew was probably the one. And it was that kid, that high schooler in his math class. And I was like, dude, I was like, the guy, he's just going to continue. Like, that was one that Matt and I both, we both got involved. We didn't go down to the school or anything, but we did get involved in trying to give him the words. And that's when he was like, well, you guys aren't there. You don't understand. And it's like, okay, well, talk to your math teacher then, because your math teacher is standing outside, probably monitoring the hallway, or ran down to the office to make a copy or something like that, and doesn't know everything that's going on in his classroom at that moment. So yeah, it was probably one of those situations. Like, if you're not going to talk to the kid himself, because he was scared. He was scared the kid was going to beat the crap out of him. So it was like, if you're too scared to talk to the kid, talk to your math teacher. Maybe your math teacher can kind of like, just kind of be aware, you know, that something might be going on, and kind of seeing, you know, something that maybe he wouldn't have seen if you didn't bring it to his attention, like that type of thing. So I guess that would be where that trusted adult thing comes in at. And he was, Matt, what grade was he in? I think that was 10th grade.
Okay. Yeah. High school definitely can be brutal, but also from what I'm hearing, middle school, not just from you guys, from other parents in our community, middle school is no joke. Which brings me, so Melissa, has there ever been a situation where you had to like make that decision? Do I send Jax back to handle this himself? Like, you talk to, or here's what you say, or here's how you try to address this with someone who disagrees with them or is bullying them. Or you're like, nope, out of your hands. I gotta jump in and either talk to the school or talk to the child's parent or.
So there was one instance where Jax started at a new school. And I think he was like in third or second grade. And he said that a kid on the bus slapped him like in the face. And he had like a little red mark when he came home. And I was livid. And Jax was like, I don't even know this kid. So it was one of those things where I was like, I'm not waiting for you to speak to this kid again. You don't even know him. And he just slapped you on a bus. So I called the school yelling. And I was an irate mess. And they were like, we're going to pull up the cameras. Like, that's why we have them. We're going to see what went on. The principal called me back and he apologized that the situation happened. He did see that Jax got slapped, but the kid was a kindergartner and he was just really excited to be going to school and just kind of like didn't know what to do with his hands and was like just excited to have other kids around to touch. And so when I found that out, I apologized to the principal and I begged for him not to yell at that kid on behalf of Jax. Like, yes, he shouldn't be slapping kids, but I didn't think it was any type of bullying. And then after that situation, I kind of learned my lesson. And I'm like, Jax, how big was this kid that is bullying you? What grade was he in? And what was the full situation of what went down? And then we go from there. But since then, Jax has been pretty good at either like handling it himself, or he'll just find like the closest teacher and he'll just tell. And he just like lets it go there.
So. I mean this in the most respectful way, but I feel like Jax is like he's not evil, but like an evil genius who would find some way to like talk through every, he is so smart and so intelligent that he would just talk his way through any situation.
That's
what it was.
Basically what he does. Yeah, yeah. Like, this kid was bullying him on the bus. So he made friends with the seventh graders now. So he sits in the back with like the seventh graders and they all protect him because he's the quiet sixth grader that doesn't get on anybody's nerves.
Evil genius.
Yeah, I know.
Evil genius.
I know.
Evil genius. Oh my god.
The kid got a plan.
That I'm sorry. That is like Lex Luthor type. Right. Type stuff. Okay. So, sorry, Melanie, Caden probably doesn't have that situation, but has there been any situation where you're like, okay, he felt like, you know, there was something going on at school that made him feel uncomfortable, and you had to draw the line between, okay, Caden, here's how you handle it, or I need to jump in as a mom and take this one. This one's above your pay grade.
Well, I mean, he's 5 and in preschool, so he's always in disagreements with other kids, but most of the other kids are like the youngest of a couple, or their siblings are really older, so they know how to fight and they know how to get what they want. And Caden's just this very mild tempered, go with the flow type kiddo. So he lets them get away with a lot, get away with a lot, get away with a lot. But whenever he usually handles situations pretty well himself. He knows he's not allowed to hit, and he's not at the age where I can explain to him when to use physical violence if necessary. So we're waiting off on that, or else he would use it all the time. But he will get up in their face and scream, and it usually makes the other person cry. So that's his defense mechanism. And he usually handles it pretty well. He knows when to use it. I've never had to jump in before that. Maybe after a couple times, but yeah, whenever he gets older, we're going to differentiate things a lot more, because I think elementary school is usually pretty safe and okay with no bullying and everything, but middle school was the absolute worst, and by teachers and by students. It was dreadful, and I don't want him to make the same mistakes I did, because I had a plan like Jack's, but my plan did not work.
Did you ever feel like, okay, I know you're trying to teach them this way and this is how you handle it and go out this way, but do you ever feel like they're coming back with more of the stuff they learned from the other kids, and it's kind of overriding the stuff that you're trying to equip them with to deal with that kind of confrontation?
If you're talking to me, he doesn't have many peers, and they're all 5, so they're not giving him much information at all.
Okay. So
he's still at the age where he'll take what me and Chad say to heart and listen to it. The only one who has any influence over him basically is Rita, his cousin, and she rules the roost. So yeah, her rules go, they're above me, they're above
also
everybody.
Evil genius.
Wish Lene was here.
What a great evil genius. I feel like, yeah, evil genius. What about you, Melissa? Do you ever feel like, okay, you're equipping him, like you said, trying to teach him, this is how you deal with it, this is what you do, but he's being more influenced by the attitudes and the cultures outside of the home on how to deal with it or how to address things?
Honestly, no. Jax, like I said, he's weird, and he's always just kind of like went to the beat of his own drum no matter what everybody else was doing. And I feel like he's still like that. He'll talk about other kids getting bullied and how they got into an argument or how they did this and they did that. And he's like, and it was crazy. He's like, I was just sitting there, though. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, they were arguing. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And then we went to lunch. And I'm like, oh, all right. So like Jax is there for the tea, but he don't want to be like in the mess of everybody else's stuff either.
That's good. He doesn't need any of that.
No. He's just trying to worry about what banana slugs and tortoises and alligators and snapping turtles are doing in his free time.
Some of the things he was showing me on Sunday, I was like, are these even real? And he's like, they are real. I was like, and then there's one. It was freaky. I was like, you're freaking me out. I said, that thing is freaking me out. I said, that's what, like longs to like a horror movie, like some under the sea.
Yeah, he found some weirdest things and then knows all the facts about them.
Christy was like, don't be freaking her out with these animals. But it was so cool. I mean, he just came home and started, do I see something cool? Sure. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
He's like, yeah, you want to see another one? Sure. I guess.
Is it going to be equally as disgusting? He's like, yes. Actually, it is.
It is. No, he's a sweet kid.
So let me ask you, Betsy, what about you? Did you ever feel like when your kids were in school that they were being more influenced by culture in school, culture outside of the home, than, especially since you were like, you know, what does the Bible say? Bring it back to what does the Bible say? And I don't know if they were in Christian schools or not, but if they're not, there's a whole world that says, we don't care what the Bible says. This is the way we do it.
So I homeschooled Matthew all during middle school. And then Liberty was homeschooled 4th, 5th, 6th. Matt was middle schooled 6th, 7th, 8th. But before that, it was all public school. But see, I was there. You get what I mean? Like, I was there, so I knew what they were being taught. And I knew who their friends were. And, like, I was just that, like, I told Matt Sr., I was like, when we have kids, I'm either homeschooling them or I'm going to be in that school because I'm going to know what's going on. Like, I want to know what's going on. So, but I ended up homeschooling them for 3 years. And that was Christian material. But then when they went back, it was all public school material too. But like I said, Matt and I, we would talk to them about anything. And I would get up in their business. Like, what music are you listening to? What TV shows? Hand me your phone. I want to see what your history, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was that mom. And I don't really care. I'm proud to be that mom. You know, I'm going to know what's going on in my kid's life. But I felt like I was constantly, and I think Matt would agree with this also, I felt like I was constantly in some kind of battle with who they were watching on TV. You know, especially Hannah Montana. Gosh, that child. Hannah Montana? Ugh! She was sassy. Oh, so sassy? And then it had this flip of the hair, and you know, Liberty was sassy enough to begin with. I mean, that child was sassy. She was talking at age 15 months and sassy. She did not need any help. And Melissa and Melanie, I know you can relate because you're like, okay, because you guys know who Hannah Montana is, right? And how she was like all sassy and stuff like that. And so I finally asked Liberty, I was like, so are you talking to me as Liberty Grace Hickok? Or are you talking to me as Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana? And then, because I said, if you're talking to me as Hannah Montana, I said, I'm going to go turn off that show right now, and you're not going to be watching it. You're going to be grounded. Don't ground me from Hannah Montana. No. You know, so we try to, like, plug into them, like, the shows that you watch, the music that you listen to has a strong influence on what you think and how you view life and stuff like that. And even though they did grow up in the church, I mean, they essentially did, a lot of their friends did not have strong Christian families. And so there was that influence as well. And so that's where a lot of those conversations came in at. So especially when a couple of their friends started transitioning, they're like, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how I should think about this. And Matt was like, what does the Bible say? You know, let's go back to what does the Bible say about these topics, you know? And there were other ones, but that was like probably that dinner conversation went on for at least an hour and a half. That one did, you know. But it's just this whole idea of, there is a lot of other influences, and especially what they listen to, like music wise, and also the TV shows or YouTube clips or, you know, whatever. Not so much video games. I thought it was going to be video games. It's not. It's not so much the video games as it is the YouTube clips and the music. When I woke.